Hi everyone, and thanks for listening to Lit Radio podcast. I'm Teja, and it's my pleasure to welcome Paul Kobe to today's episode. We'll talk about his book, The Digital Leader's Playbook, 62 Fundamental Maxims for Success for Today's IT Leader. Paul has been a FTSE 100 CEO for a quarter of a century. He was the first ever group CEO, as opposed to IT director, at four companies. He was named to that position at British Airways in 2000, John Lewis Partnership in 2016, Jones & Matty in 2018, and Persimmon Homes in 2022. The Digital Leader's Playbook is a concise and easy-to-use reference guide filled with 62 key maxims, each one a shot of practical wisdom for becoming a successful tech leader. Hi, Paul. It's a great pleasure to have you with us on Lit Radio podcast. How are you today?
It's great today. The sun's out and the book's published, so that's all good.
Absolutely. It was an exciting day yesterday with the book being published. And congratulations, of course. But before we talk about the book, could you share with our listeners a bit more about your background as a CIO at some of the UK's leading companies? And are there any interesting stories you can share with us from that time?
Gosh, yes. Well, I've been lucky enough, fortunate enough to be CIO at Persimmon Homes now, and then Johns & Matthey before that in global sort of chemicals and platinum. And before that, the John Lewis Partnership and British Airways. So I've got, when I look back, a quarter century of experience as a CIO, which is one of the key reasons that led me to pull that all together in the book. You asked about an interesting story that taught a lot. I guess it would be click and collect at John Lewis. I mean, if you think about click and collect, which every retailer now does, you'd say, why is that going to work? So you want to buy a shirt. So you're going to sit down on your sofa in the evening, order it online, and then go to the store where you could buy a shirt to pick it up. But it changed the whole way that we think about shopping and buying, because it changed the approach. You could sit at home, you could do it in comfort, you could do it online. But the real point here, Teja, is to make that work, we had to convince all our colleagues that shopping was changing, that instead of people coming into the store to buy things, they might be coming into the store to collect them, and they may be bringing them back. And that was a totally different way of how we used to shop. Now, it's completely accepted now. And the way we did that, Teja, was to each of the leadership team adopted three John Lewis stores. And we went around the country, did town halls, explained what the technology would do, explained how we would ensure that the thing you ordered online would be available to collect the next day, and explained why it mattered to the company. Because if we didn't change, we wouldn't be competitive.
Absolutely. And Paul, you get a very impressive background, of course, and that's just one of the many stories you can share. And is that why you decided to write the book, The Digital Leader's Playbook?
I wrote it because way back, I'd done an interview on, what have you learned as a CIO? But the real impulse that led to it being published by LID was when, after I'd retired two times, I had the opportunity to become CIO at Persimmon Homes. And I was standing back and thinking, where was the playbook for this? It's a really challenging thing for you and for all your colleagues when you sort of walk through the door on the first day as a new CIO. So then the penny dropped that, well, actually, way back I'd written something which I called 50 Things I Wish I'd Known Before I Became a CIO. So I dug that out, and actually that was a spur to structure what you see in the Digital Leaders Playbook that we've just published. And if you check out the back, you will see there's a little quiz against the 62 maxims where I rated myself as to, whether I was taking my own medicine. And as you can see, it's a bit of a decidedly mixed bunch. So, the short answer is, why did I write it? I kind of wrote it for myself.
Yeah, well, that's good because I'm sure a lot of people would want to get the experience that you have. So, yeah, hopefully it will have a much wider appeal just to yourself, of course. Yeah, so before we continue talking about what's in the book, could you tell us what was the writing process like for you, for anyone who might be interested in writing a book?
I had written a book on Roman history before, and I must say, remarkably, that was a lot easier than writing this. And I mean, that goes down to that old thing that writing 10,000 words of waffle is easy, writing 100 words of wisdom is much harder. It was really quite challenging in terms of boiling down what were a lot of thoughts into something that would be really useful to the reader. And actually, the breakthrough was Martin Liu at LID, who came up with the format that we've adopted, which is two pages, the maxim on the left, with some headlines, and then a small amount of text, with a call to action at the bottom and the key point sort of highlighted in bold. And it was, Martin's guidance on that that enabled me to focus. And then the process was taking all of these thoughts and boiling them down to the 62 maxims. So, yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, well, it's tough, but it's worth it in the end, I hope.
I hope so, yes.
So, yeah. Okay, and so now talking about the maxims, so you separated them into several different groups. And the first group is all about how tech leaders need to be able to manage themselves. So why is that so important? And also, what does that really mean? How can they manage themselves well?
Technology, digital tech matters a lot in being a CIO. Of course it does. But actually, a very large part of the role is about leadership, and it's about motivating people. It's about working with customers. It's about working with colleagues. So that's really, really important. And that's why I've talked quite a lot about that in the book. So one of the maxims is expect to be afraid as a CIO. You're going to be faced with things that are really tough and difficult to handle. So how you manage that's really important. Try to be human. People want to work for people they understand, and therefore just try to be yourself at work. And that all is part of being a leader and a part of sort of motivating people. So managing yourself is really key. And if you can't manage yourself and you can't prioritize what you do, you're going to have real trouble managing your team and interacting with colleagues.
Absolutely. And have you got some tips on how to manage yourself well?
And I highlight this one because I'm not very good at it. And I think it's early on in the book, one of the early maxims, which is prioritize. Just work out what you're there for, and set yourself some goals. So you're probably going to have some major projects running, so you're going to spend 20% of your time on that. You need to communicate with your team how long you're going to spend on that. It's vital that you work with your business stakeholders. You understand what they want, you know, from technology and IT. How long are you going to spend on that? And, you know, what I've learned is set yourself those goals and just check them out at least once a month, maybe once a week. You won't deliver them. I can absolutely guarantee that. But it will force you to ask questions. Because it's so easy, because IT, as an IT leader, you can see across the whole business. You can do an awful lot about an awful lot of things, but are you doing the right things? Are you doing the things that really matter? And, you know, I speak personally here. It's so easy when you're under stress to think that being busy is the answer, rather than focusing on what really makes a difference.
Absolutely. Yeah, I do agree with that 100%. And then, very interestingly, Bo, you claim that the CEO or tech leader in any company, they're not solely responsible for the tech of the company, but also its overall business success. So could you explain why that is the case and what it means for the CIO of the company?
I mean, I always feel that that's a sort of self-evident truth. You just think, over my time as CIO in those four different companies, how digital tech has transformed different industries. So that's true whether you're talking about TV, taxis, hotels, air travel, music, gambling, publishing. Defense have been transformed by tech. Construction, manufacturing, increasingly depend on tech. Now, that doesn't mean that Persimmon Homes is a tech company or John Lewis is a tech company or British Airways is a tech company, but they are fundamentally enabled by how they use technology. So understanding what to prioritize, making sure that the technology works is vital. And, you know, just think now, we have AI accelerating change in ways that everyone finds hard to predict in terms of how it will, you know, come out and change the way we work. But it's very clear it is changing the way we work. So you've got that on one side. And then you've got cyber risk on the other. We've had the recent issues with Jaguar Land Rover and Marks and Spencers, which everybody understands. And these have really impacted how technology is viewed in companies.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in the recent years, I can absolutely agree. We've seen the growing role of tech companies. Even, yeah, you're right. Those are not tech companies, but then technology plays a huge role in how they develop and keep being relevant for their customers.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And but what are the key skills that any tech leader need to possess to be able to manage their IT function successfully?
Employ and work with people who really understand how the technology works, real technology experts, whether you're talking about data, cyber, AI, systems, infrastructure. Having the experts who understand how your technology works in your company is absolutely vital. Secondly, be a people leader. And thirdly, and this is one of the maxims, love your business.
Yeah, I think that sounds great, but I've got a follow-up question. I absolutely agree that having the right team is essential to be able to manage your function. But we know a lot of leaders nowadays are struggling with finding and also retaining talent. So have you got any advice on how to find the right people for your team?
I mean, one of the maxims is don't point people in your own image. I've done that. It's very easy to do, because when you meet people and they tend to behave and agree with you, maybe you think they're the right ones. But always look to build a team which has diversity in every sense of that word. You need people who will look at things differently. You need people with different skills. One of the fantastic things about being a CIO is you're accountable for running the systems, whether they're in the cloud or they're your own systems. So, people who are skilled at doing that, able to manage that, able to change them, deal with any incidents, really, really important. You're also delivering almost certainly new platforms, they may be Salesforce or Workday or some other big platform, or there may be apps that you're building. But again, the people that you need and the skills that you need to do that are very different and very technical. And then there's innovation and AI, and you need people who will be really looking to the frontiers of that. So the right sort of team is one that contains the blend of the technical capabilities, but also different sorts of personality types. IT people all tend to be of a certain sort of sort. Do check out to actually make sure that you've got people who view things, from different angles to you, have different backgrounds to you.
Absolutely. Yeah, I really like that. Okay, and then talking about the IT function, part of that, of course, is managing the tech of the company. So what happens when something goes wrong with the tech?
If you've got a serious incident, you need to set up a team to find the root cause and to fix it. That's easy to say, really important. And you need to deploy those technical experts that I've talked about in previous sort of answers there. Then you need to implement your business continuity plan to keep the business running without the tech until it is fixed. And hopefully you practice both. I think one of the things I've learned is that a big role of the CIO is to act as the communicator in an incident or an operational sort of problem. So it's my job to talk to those executives, to talk to the board, and to explain what is happening, to give the experts the time and space to fix the problem.
Yeah, absolutely. And have you got any story from your experience, probably, when something went wrong and how you dealt with it?
A good example of managing an incident was in John Lewis, and it was Black Friday, which of course is an absolute peak selling time. We'd set up the website and with monitoring, and we went live at midnight. I was there with the team watching it. We had a monitor showing all the things that were being sold. It was going fantastically well, literally millions of pounds of sales going through on the day. I went home at about 2:30. It had all gone well, and then it sort of picked up again in the morning in terms of sales at 7 a.m. and went forward. So I sort of went in and watched it all going fantastically well because of all the hard work in setting up the sale, the merchandisers put some fantastic items there. The volumes were going through. Black Friday was going well. And then at, let's say, just after 2 p.m., everything flatlined. We stopped selling. And all the metrics that you could see and all the technical measures stopped being very healthy and literally went flat. And it was a denial of service attack. Of course, during this period, how different retailers are selling is monitored very, very carefully. And this would be noticed. Now, we had looked ahead, and this was over a decade ago, had set up, working with a third party, protection against a denial of service attack, hostile denial of service attack, which is effectively bombarding you with so many false logins and requests that it completely jams the platform and stops legitimate customers getting in. And, you know, the sort of thing is then followed by requests for payments, etc. But fortunately, because we had set this up, and it was still very new technology, we were able to divert this volume of malicious traffic into a sort of digital dustbin, this enabled it to flow through. We were then able to sort of bring the site up. Now, as you will appreciate, everybody's trying to get in to buy the Black Friday goods. So the volume's hitting you at that point, even if you've taken out the malicious traffic, are extremely high, and it is very difficult to sort of bring the site back. But because the team was very expert, because they'd thought about how to do this and practiced it, we were able, in a relatively short period of time, to get back and sort of selling. But I can sort of honestly say that was one of those moments when, you know, you're in a very public place, everybody's looking, and through no fault of your own or your team's, things stop happening. You are reliant on the skill and capability of your team and people having thought ahead in terms of what could happen. So that was very memorable.
Yeah, I can imagine. But yeah, I think it's a really interesting example for when something can really go really wrong. And thanks for sharing that, Paul. And then I'll move on to another part of the book, which focuses on managing your suppliers. So could you talk to us a little bit about that and why this is so vital for the tech leader?
So no one these days devises and runs all their technology. You need strategic partners you can rely on to manage your networks, provide your ERP and your CRM customer systems. You need to treat them as integral to your team and the service that you are providing. Now, you need the right contractual relationships in place, but if you actually open that drawer and get the contract out, you haven't got the right relationship. It's really important that if they're strategic, you as CIO have built that strong relationship with them, and your team have integrated them into the way that you run your technology. You know, you shouldn't treat them as them and us. They need to be part of the team, but you need to recognize that you have a commercial relationship with them.
Yeah, absolutely. And now, Paul, I'll move to probably the biggest question and the biggest team when it comes to taking that, well, AI, of course. So how big of a role is AI playing today for the CEOs and tech leaders?
Well, let's face it, AI is overhyped. It's got to be a bubble, but it's here. And it's changing the world of work. We're now 3 years in since ChatGPT launched, but it's still developing fast. AI needs to be understood. It can make tremendous changes, but if you don't understand what the risks and the potential downsides are, you know, whether that's hallucinations or incorrect data, or indeed being misused, then you're going to be in trouble. So it's really important that you as CIO act as the person who can unpack AI, both in terms of its tremendous potential for speeding up work, improving processes, understanding problems faster, but also understanding and managing those risks. So I think as CIO, you have a fantastic opportunity here, but you've got to walk that tightrope between the potential and the possibilities and the risks and the downsides of AI.
Yeah, great. And I just have one final question, Paul, to end this conversation. And I know it might be a very difficult one, but if you had to choose one of your maxims from the book that every tech leader should hear today, what would those be?
Well, I think the first one, which I think I was one of the first people to use, but you see it around the place a lot these days, is there are no IT projects, only business projects, you know, which is, that's what you're there for. You're to deliver benefit for your business, company, government, department, whatever it is. But I think this, you've only allowed me two, haven't you? I think the second one is humans matter more than technology.
Yeah. Well, I like those. And of course, our listeners can read more about those two and all of the other maxims in the book, the Digital Leaders Playbook. But thank you very much, Paul, for your time today. I really enjoyed talking with you about the book and the different insights in it. And of course, as I said, I encourage our listeners to grab a copy as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Tea. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Make sure you keep an eye on our social media at Lit Publishing on LinkedIn, X, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook for more information about new books and podcasts with thought leaders. See you next time on Lit Radio Podcast.